one of the issues that I've encountered, I know Jeff has encountered, maybe you've encountered, is as we upgrade our hardware for video production, the quality gets better and better. So we're
That's a problem?
It can be when it comes to the editing floor.
Okay.
Because nowadays, the cameras are all 4K.
Yeah.
So our camera here at our studio is 4K. When you shoot new every day, your camera is 4K 60, I think. Maybe it's 4K 30, but definitely a 4K
source. It's more than the 720 I got at home.
What have you found the experiences like when editing that video?
Very, very painful, but I think that's because my computer's probably not up to snuff for it.
Are any computers up to snuff for it? Unless you've got like a rendering farm and the latest AI processors.
But I find because it's such high quality video, it does take me a very long time when I'm trying to go from shot to shot.
Okay. Yeah, when you're editing.
Yes.
In your editor.
Yeah.
Can be brutal. Because my laptop can't handle it.
Right.
And yet somehow I use this laptop to produce new every day, every single week.
Is that what you use?
That's what I use.
I have no clue.
But it can't handle it. Let's look at the source video from... This is just from New Every Day. But it's to show you what kind of experience we have when working with 4K footage. So this is a clip from an upcoming episode of New Every Day. So when I push play... I pushed play, by the way. I pushed it. And I'm waiting.
See, that's what happens when I'm at home trying to edit.
And you're waiting. Okay. And Lawrence is there. And... It is one frame a second.
It looks like old school webcam.
And it's I have not paused it. Notice, okay? It's brutal. And if you start editing and you've got clips galore, and that's really how it goes down, clips galore by the time I'm done this thing, it could be brutal. And when you're working with 4K footage and it's that stuttery, it can be really hard. So tonight what I'm going to show you is a couple of tricks of the trade for video production. And I'm using a program called CyberLink PowerDirector. I love it. It's a really good happy medium between really, really cheap software and really, really good quality software. So it's not up there with the most amazing professional video effects processors, but it's really, really good. It's better than any of the free stuff that I've ever found. And it's very, very cheap. You can pick up this software through our link at cat5.tv/PD for Power Director. But I want you to know right off the bat that everything that we're going to teach you tonight can transcend the software.
Okay.
So even though the interfaces may be a little bit different, the entire mentality and the processes that we're learning tonight can, you can do this on free software. You can do this on the best software. But the idea behind it is the principles, the concepts.
Yeah.
So what I want, what I know about 4K footage is it's a huge canvas to work with. So we can zoom in on that canvas as long as we don't mind downscaling the video. So when I say that, I think about New Every Day broadcasts at 720p. So imagine I have 4K canvas. I can now zoom in on that, and it's still perfect. Lossless quality because it's 4K. I'm only using 720p.
Right.
So rather than taking that 4K footage and scaling it down, I'm instead taking that 4K footage and zooming in on it to the same dimension. So that gives me a whole new way of working with my 4K footage because now what is one camera sitting on a stationary tripod with two people sitting in front of it becomes three cameras.
Right.
So in our case, if we were shooting right now and we wanted to do this, we could have you as one camera, but it's only one physical camera,
right?
Me as one camera, Jeff as another camera, and then a wide shot as a fourth camera.
But as from a live feed of the show, that's what we do.
We do that here. So when we zoom in, something like that, that's exactly what we're doing in real time. But not everyone has that kind of technology.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Thousands of dollars to have that.
But that gives you an example of what you're talking about when it comes to what you're going to show us.
It gives you a bit of an idea.
Okay.
This is a 4K canvas that we can then zoom in on, and we have a lossless close-up of that video. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually create files that our editor and our computer can handle, so not 4K, from our 4K source, and then we're going to be able to transition between them. So keep in mind, of course, at 4K, I can't even play this video, let alone edit it. It's really, really choppy. Remember, this is like 30p or maybe 60p. I think it's 30 because it is 4K footage. But what I can do, so in CyberLink PowerDirector, again, these tools are going to be different in your editor, but if you want to follow along in PowerDirector, this is great. I've clicked on the track of the video, and then tools and power tools, and then crop and zoom, and then I can click on crop and zoom the button there. Now, because Lawrence is standing up, the first thing that I want to do is I want to skim along in the video to a spot where both of the guys are sitting down. I'm going to create a new keyframe, and then I'm going to put my wide shot on that frame exactly where I want it to be. So then see the preview over the right-hand side? Okay. That's perfect. So now I'm going to go back to the first frame, first keyframe, and I'm going to duplicate the next keyframe. Then I'm going to go to the next keyframe, and then to the next keyframe, which now takes me to the last keyframe, and I'm again going to duplicate the previous keyframe using this button here. So now all three keyframes have exactly the same zoom. See that?
Yep.
So if I scroll anywhere in this timeline, that zoom is going to have a nice frame, and it's going to be a really, really nice wide shot of those guys. Okay? I like to take it one step further, and I like to take this middle one, don't touch the other two, make sure that they are exactly the same, because if you do any edit points, you need them to be able to be seamless, so it doesn't jerk in all of a sudden on the camera. Right, but I like to have a bit of motion on my camera. Mm-hmm. I like to make it look like there's a camera operator, even though we know that it's just a stationary tripod. So now let's take this middle keyframe, and I'm going to zoom in, just punch in just a little wee bit, and then I'm going to move the center of the frame and put it right there. So now, as this plays, it's actually going to zoom in a little bit toward the middle, and then it's going to zoom out again to the same, because these keyframes, the first one and the last one, match each other, so they're seamless. But you'll notice if I start the video here, and it's very, very choppy right now because I'm in 4K mode, so starting there, now watch that frame. If I skip over to here, it's in a lot tighter. See that?
Right.
Okay.
So you get this really nice kind of, it's like the camera is just kind of softly moving in and softly moving out. And you just get that little bit of motion that just makes it look like there's somebody operating that camera.
And so what's the time frame on this? Like, are we talking that's like a 3 second or?
No, just for the sake of this demonstration, I'm using a 2 minute clip thereabouts.
Oh, so you're going from the beginning to, so you can determine the clip length.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, well, I missed that part.
You want to do it for the entire clip. Now, when I do the actual show, I've got like a 4-hour video because you guys clip a lot, right?
We do talk.
You record a lot. So what I do in that, so now I'm just going to hit OK because I'm happy with this. So in that case, let's say this was a 4-hour video. I would just choose a 5-minute point now that I've done that crop and zoom, and then I would hit the cut button to trim that. So now I've got one video here and one video here that will seamlessly connect together, because remember, the first and last keyframe are identical.
Right.
So it's going to zoom in here about midpoint, and then zoom back out to here, and then zoom back in again, right?
Okay.
So now I've got this nice framing for the wide shot. So remember, we're creating three shots from this one shot. I've got my wide shot as my starting point, so this is both guys together on the set. Then I need to render this. So I need to go produce. So this is where I'm going to output it to a file format that my computer is capable of working with. And this is going to be the file, the final size, but not the same, not necessarily the same compression or quality of my final production. So because I know I'm going to be producing a show in 720p, I can go down to 720p, and then the produced quality is going to be exactly that.
Right, exactly.
I couldn't go down to 360p and then scale it up to 720p. It would look horrible. So first of all, I'm going to stick with M2TS because I find that M2TS file format is very, very fast decoding. That's important too, because sometimes off of the camera, they're compressed files because 4K is a huge frame. So the camera compresses them into a smaller file so that they'll fit on your SD card and you can record more than 5 minutes worth on a 128 gig card. So because it's super compressed, it means it needs to decompress on your CPU while you're editing it if you're using that master file.
Yeah.
So by creating a file that's M2TS, OS, it's no longer as compressed.
Okay.
It's still a pretty small file, but it's going to take up a lot of space. These are the masters. They're going to be pretty large.
Yeah.
But because they're 720p, not 4K, they're going to be a lot smaller. But the rendering time, the speed is going to be a lot better when working with it. Now, I don't want to work with Interlace. This is defaulting to 60i. I'm going to change it to, this is going to be 720p. You can do 1080p or whatever you want to work with, but I'm going to go 1280 by 720 60p. And then I just browse to where I want to save that file. I'm going to just slap that on my desktop, and I call it wide. I like to just name my shots what they're going to be. So this is my wide shot, and I hit save. I like to turn on enable preview during production so that I can see what's going on, and then hit start. And you see this is going to take a while to render. This is moving at a slow pace, but it's scaling it down to 720p at 60 frames per second. It's going to take about an hour to render just that 2-minute clip. So it's a lot of time to get it down there. So give yourself a lot of time.
Right.
But once you have those rendered down 720p masters, it can be the 4-hour thing. And right. then you've got files that you can work with. So I do the entire thing, all shots. And then I've got 720p masters to work with, so I never actually have to touch the 4K after that. So I've already rendered these. I'm just going to cancel this so that I just wanted to show you the process. Now I want to create the next one. This is going to be my stage right shot. So this is going to be their right, your left. So now that I've created the wide shot, and we'll presumably say that it rendered out, I'm going to then highlight this again and go Tools, Power Tools, and Crop Zoom because it's already active. And now I'm going to change this so that this is a close-up of James on stage right. So wait for it. There we go. Okay, so again, I start with my middle frame. That's always my starting point. Never start with your first or last frame because those have to match. And because Lawrence is standing, I don't know what their final position is going to be during the edit. So here, I want this to be a close-up shot of James. That's on stage right. So I'm going to bring it in there. And I want this to be the widest that James will have at any given time. Okay. Understand, this needs to be the widest shot that he will have, and Lawrence is completely cut out of the shot. Now I'm going to go back to my first keyframe and duplicate the next one, which is the middle one that I just created, and now you can see that it's a nice close-up of James. See the preview there?
Right.
Now I'm going to go to the last keyframe, and then I'm going to duplicate the previous one. Don't worry about the fact that they're not standing where you want them. Now, go back to the middle keyframe, now that every single keyframe is identical. And now I want to create, in the middle keyframe, any guesses? The close-up of James.
Right.
This is as close as I ever want it to be to him. So now I've got that nice panning kind of motion. So here it's a nice kind of wider shot, and it slowly zooms in on his face. Until finally, the closest it gets, see the preview in the top right here?
Right.
It's really, really nice and tight into his shot. But then it zooms back out as they're having this discussion. And then finally, once it gets out to the final keyframe, it's back at that nice wide shot where you see some of the background, you see some of his shirt, and so on. But that middle frame is going to be the closest that it ever gets. Now hit OK. Now I've got my close-up of James ready to render. Wait for it. Remember, I'm still in 4K. There we go. It's ready to go. So now this is the file that now I want to produce this file in 720p. Notice the resolution is terrible there, but as soon as I start rendering it, because it's going to be rendered at the proper resolution, so let's call this stage right, or you can call it James if you want, or whatever. I'm going to enable preview resolution. Watch what happens when I hit start. The quality is going to change because it's going to be the actual render resolution. Notice I didn't have to change it to 60p 720 because it's already set.
Wow, that is much
See fun. How beautiful that looks? So that's the final kind of close-up on James.
Okay.
So now, okay, I've already rendered that. And so I'm going to skip ahead, and we're going to pretend now we already know the process, so we know how to do that with Lawrence as well.
Right.
We can do exactly the same thing. You just want to start with that middle keyframe, and it's pretty easy now because I've already got that middle keyframe like already set up. So let's look at that third camera here. So I'm going to jump to my middle keyframe, and I'm going to duplicate my next keyframe because I want it to be the wide shot,
yep,
and drag it over to Lawrence. Now, notice what's going to happen here. If I forget to do anything else, it's going to actually pan over. There's going to be some motion, and it's going to pan over to include James in the shot.
Right.
Right? So I actually have to now go to the next keyframe, duplicate the previous one. Go to the first keyframe, duplicate the next one. Now all of them are on Lawrence. Okay? Highlight the middle keyframe, get that close-up of Lawrence. Stage left. There you go. I can pull him pretty tight because this is 720p on a 4K canvas.
Right.
So there, I've got, there's Lawrence, done. Boom. We've got a 720p shot of Lawrence. Nice and tight. So we've created three shots. We've got wide, we've got stage right, which is James, and we've got stage left, which is Lawrence. So now that we've got those files, we'll pretend that, because I did this before the show just to prepare because I knew it would take an hour per shot to render. I'm going to close out of that, and let's start with a new file, new project. I'm going to open media files, jump to where I saved those two, which is on my desktop, in a folder called 590, samples ready, and I've got wide, stage right, stage left. Let's highlight all those and import them into my timeline. I like to save at this point because PowerDirector creates swap files, which is kind of nice because it will speed up the editing process even further. So I call this 590 test, whatever. Okay. Highlight stage right because it's going to be the first file in your editor. This is where things get exciting, Jeff. I've highlighted stage right,
okay,
and now, and you'll understand that in a second. I'm going to hit plugins and then multicam designer. Now it puts stage right on the left, which is actually James' position on camera.
Right.
Now I'm going to click this plus button over here on two, and I'm going to go import from media room stage left, which is Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, three, add that, import from media room, wide. Okay. Remember, I'm using CyberLink PowerDirector. You can use any software, but I want to show you this. It's great software, cat5.tv/pd. It's really, really cheap, really affordable. It only runs on Windows. That's the one caveat, but it works great, and it has all these features. And some people have said, well, as a Linux user, why are you using Windows editing software? And maybe just showing you will answer that question for you. So I start by, let's click on that shot, the wide shot.
Okay.
Let's go to where our actual episode starts. So let's get in here. Okay, let's pretend that this is where it starts. I'm going to press record, and now on my keyboard, I have the 1, 2, and 3. And presumably, you could have 4 as well. I'm just going to push 1 on my keyboard. Ready for it?
Yep.
1, 2, 3. I'm pushing those keys on my keyboard, and I'm swapping between the three camera shots in real time as if I was an actual camera operator sitting there in studio holding the camera, punching in and out. Now, I'm boom, boom. Lawrence is talking, so I'm nicely zoomed in on Lawrence. And zoom wide shot. I don't know what happened to one. I think I pressed a button or something, but you get the idea. So I'm going to pause that. Oh, I think I only had a half of a file there.
Oh.
No worries.
That's right, because you clipped it.
Yeah. So, okay. So now that I've got that, so I've pressed record, now I've hit stop, I'm finished. This is not an actual edit. This is just my multicam designer. So now when I hit okay, it's actually going to create those edit points in my editor.
No!
So now when I push play in my editor, I'm already done. So I'm going to skim over here. Watch this.
Oh, come on.
See that? It's real time. It's fast. It's ready to go. And it only took us 3 hours to render that file. I mean, it's going to take you some time to create those master files.
Right.
But I do it overnight. This is why. Now you understand why I say you've got to have the show to me like
seven days in advance.
Yeah. Because if you give me 4 hours worth of video, it takes 12 hours, 15 hours to render.
Right.
So now that I've done that, So now that I've done that, I can produce my video. And let's just pretend that that's my glorious editing job.
Right.
It's ready. And you notice it automatically added audio from one of the tracks. Make sure all of your tracks have audio, or you can select that. Now, this is where I choose MP4, custom, and I have what I call low cost 720p as my preset that I created, because what I've done is I changed the average bit rate to 10,000 kilobits per second, which just cost me less money to distribute. So then I create that file and I call this my final, and I hit start. And that will actually now render. So again, you're going to see this in full quality now. Look at how beautiful that looks. And look at how fast it renders now that it's 720p sources. And look at that close up. Wow. It's as if I have three cameras sitting in front of those guys, yet I only have one camera sitting in front of them on a tripod. How beautiful is that?
You know I'm going to take that, the new everyday camera, and start recording random stuff just to play with this.
Absolutely. Give this a go. Try this at home. Let us know if this has helped you with your editing process. Maybe this has revolutionized your editing process, and certainly with a 1080p or higher camera. Absolutely. You can do this with a 1080p camera as well. Get it down to 720 or 480p in order to get your close-ups, but you're going to have a little more lossiness to it. With a 4K camera, it's virtually indistinguishable. It just looks like you've got multiple cameras.
Why did we not do this back in November? Because I produced a 3.5 minute 4K Christmas video for the church, and it was...
Now you know, Jeff. I told you there were secrets. Long,
3 days to work on it.
I told you there were secrets to it. Now you know, my friend. You can thank me next week.
I'm thanking you now.
All right, all right.